You are listening to the Voice of the Arts, WQED-FM. I'm Jim Cunningham. It's great to speak with John Devlin, conductor of the Wheeling Symphony Orchestra. Their opening night gala celebration is just days away, with Yo-Yo Ma playing the John Williams Cello Concerto. A brand new piece is on the program. It's going to be a gala night. It's a tremendous season of American stories, and there are several American stories in the opening night celebration, which is September 29th in Wheeling, West Virginia, at the Capitol Theater. John, so nice to meet you, and I wish you all the best. What a fantastic event you have. How did you secure the most famous cellist in the world as your soloist?
The story is quite interesting, because normally you plan for years to make this type of ask, especially at an orchestra of our size. But Yo-Yo Ma's team called us this summer and asked if he could find a place on our season, because I think a few factors came into play. One, I think he's interested in the work that we're doing, supporting living American artists as our first primary goal. And secondly, he cares deeply about the state of West Virginia and about the things that are challenges for our state here, retaining population, bringing in people that are going to contribute in beautiful ways to the workforce. And all of those circumstances led to this joyful event that we're going to be able to have with him next week.
And the piece he is playing is important to him. He recorded it recently. John Williams has worked on the cello concerto for quite a while. He made some revisions. And Gathering of Friends, the CD that came out about a year or so ago, features it. So it's a new presentation in many ways.
That's right. This is a significant year for John Williams, as many of your listeners will know, in that it's his 90th birthday year. So there are celebrations happening for him all over the country in various ways. And we wanted to be a part of that. And it fit beautifully, like I said, with our mission to support great American art. So this revision, like you said, the recording came out last year with the New York Philharmonic, with John Williams himself conducting. And it's been a joy to learn this revised version, which Yo-Yo and his team are very excited to have premiered here in Wheeling.
Have you talked with him about whether there is any opportunity for an encore after he plays? Surely the audience is going to want to hear more from Yo-Yo Ma.
So I am so happy that we are having this conversation when we are, because just yesterday I had my long-awaited meeting with Yo-Yo Ma to talk about the concert. And it was unlike any soloist meeting I'd ever had in my life. Typically, you sit down right before the rehearsal on site and hash through a bunch of the things you're worried about lining up once you get onto the stage with the orchestra. Here, he had requested a phone call a week in advance, and we were probably going to talk for 15 minutes. We spoke for 80 minutes, and we didn't speak about the piece at hand at all in any specific terms. He asked about me as a person. He asked about our orchestra and our state. He asked what I thought about the piece as a conceptual piece of art. And then he shared with me some things that he learned from John Williams himself. And so it felt like a little bit like an audience with the Pope of classical music. And what an honor for me as a young conductor to be able to have a moment like that.
All right. Well, maybe we can speak a little bit more about Yo-Yo Ma, but I want you to tell me about the other pieces on the program, because you have Caroline Shaw, who is a hot property in classical music around the world. And you have a piece called Entr'acte, which you tried to get onto your program a couple of times and were not able to do so because of the pandemic.
That's right. Caroline Shaw rose to prominence when she lived in Princeton, New Jersey. And I, at the time, was the assistant conductor of the Princeton Symphony, where we championed a lot of the people that lived in Princeton at the time, because there's such a strong composition program there. And I followed her career with extraordinary interest. And she's quite a quirky musician in that many of the pieces she writes for orchestra never become published. You can't perform them. But this is one that was originally a string quartet, as you mentioned, Entr'acte, that then subsequently was revised for string orchestra by adding a bass part and creating a few other amendments. So this piece is one of my favorites. I bring it with me as a guest conductor all around the country. I think it's just such a poignant, visceral picture of what American music looks like right now from young creatives. It's written in a form that will feel familiar, an ABA form, but the places she goes and how she gets there is very, very beautiful. So we're looking forward to presenting that. And a unique element, if I may, is that at the Wheeling Symphony, every Masterworks concert we have, we do something that is a surprise to the audience that we don't announce in advance in the way we present a work. And this is the work, the Caroline Shaw Entr'acte, that will have that treatment as we come back from COVID and present our first opening night gala. We want to be as close to the audience as possible, which is a little bit of a hint of how we'll be performing this piece.
And the other piece on the program, wait, there's more, music by Evan Meyer, who you have invited Chris Stiles to participate in it, and there will be a concerto for what? Beatbox? All kinds of things going on. And the formal title of the piece is?
Migrations in Rhythm, a Concerto for Beatbox and Rhyme.
Now, how did this happen?
What a blessing at 33 years old it was to be offered the music directorship of an orchestra as profoundly successful as the Wheeling Symphony. And what comes along with that is the ability to commission new works. And this is a very profound obligation because, you know, at an orchestra like ours, we're probably going to be able to do one of those a year. And so when I got to the Wheeling Symphony, this was the first project that I wanted to design. When I lived in Washington, D.C., I came across Chris Stiles Bacon when I was designing videos that went along with the Young People's Concert Series at the National Symphony Orchestra, where I subsequently went on to work for many, many years. And I thought, this man who can beatbox at a virtuosic level, who can rap and freestyle at a virtuosic level and do things like play the spoons also at a virtuosic level, he deserves a piece where he is not simply added into something familiar to the audience already as kind of a sideshow, but instead from the ground up, tell a story and highlight and amplify his skills in a way that is profoundly designed around his unique abilities. And so this is the piece that emerged. He studies world music in a very conscientious way. He moved to Brazil for 2 years to learn their rhythmic patterns. And then he is a legend in Washington, D.C. for his go-go influence. And so I talked to him. I asked, what project would you design if you had a carte blanche to do that from scratch? And this was the result. There's music that is from West Africa, from the Afro-Cubano region, from Western Europe, and from the American South, that all through migratory patterns of people, their art came with them. And it led to the creation of go-go, hip-hop, and funk in the United States from 1960 to 1990. And that's the story we're going to tell, something that unites our country and talks about how profoundly beautiful it is that the type of people that have come from all over the world to be here have created things that are uniquely American when they've worked together.
This program is entirely American?
That's correct. We have 6 creators on this program. Caroline Shaw, Evan Meyer, the composer of that concerto, John Williams, Yo-Yo Ma, Chris Stiles Bacon, and then we do have a new version of the Star Spangled Banner written by Mexican-American composer Enrico Lopez Yanez, another way for us to pay tribute to the many influences that lead to the beauty in this country.
Oh, how did you find the new arrangement of the national anthem? That's a special item.
Enrico is both the principal pops conductor of the Nashville Symphony and one of my best friends. In fact, I host a podcast with him where we talk about all things conducting and classical music. And when he told me that he had done this, I said, you know, there are these standard arrangements that sound vanilla of the Star Spangled Banner. This one he designed to mimic the Whitney Houston arrangement that was so impactful at the Super Bowl a couple of decades ago. And it's interestingly mostly in 4/4 time, unlike what we usually hear, and has a lot of incredible harmonic treatment. So it's exciting, it's visceral, and I love performing that instead of one of the standard arrangements.
Now, if I want to come to your events, I just go to your website and I can sign up. But is it at different levels depending on whether I want to be part of the after party or the dinner beforehand? Can I still get in on everything, or is something closed? We're just a few days out now.
That's kind of you to ask, right? Our website is www.wheelingsymphony.com. There are still tickets available to the concert and to the after party. The pre-concert gala is now closed, and we're happy to say that. And now I'm ready to answer the question that I avoided earlier, because I wanted to talk a little bit about Chris Stiles. There will be an encore that Yo-Yo Ma has agreed to perform, where he and Chris Stiles will do something together. You can imagine how excited we are to see that. A little bit of a hook for your listeners.
What fun. And you mentioned go-go music. I've heard go-go. I don't know what it is. Where do you hear go-go music?
Sure. Well, go-go music was made the official music of Washington, D.C. 4 years ago by Mayor Bowser. And it is a music that relies on a continuous motion from the percussion section. It was created in dance halls in Washington, D.C., where it used to be that people would leave in between sets of bands, and they hated that because the bar tab went down. So they actually continued with the percussion section between numbers while the bands even changed, and it became known as go-go music. So it started in Washington, D.C. in the 1950s and 60s, and could persist until this day as the official music of Washington, D.C. And when I was there, I was the conductor of a musical group called the Go-Go Symphony that combined a go-go band and a classical orchestra. And that was one of the best experiences that I've had in my life.
What fun. Well, I've got to explore more go-go music for sure. How long does it take? I've been to your theater. I can't remember. Are we talking an hour and a quarter to get from Pittsburgh to your place?
Mm-hmm. If you are navigating to Wheeling from the west side of Pittsburgh near the downtown area and the stadiums, it can take about 45 minutes if you're lucky with the traffic. Plan for about an hour, but the downtown is beautiful. Ogilvy Resort is our crown jewel here in a beautiful park, a great place to stay if anybody wants to make it a night. And it's going to be something that would be well worth the visit if you're a classical music fan coming out to Wheeling to see us on Thursday, September 29th.
Oh, many Pittsburghers know Ogilvy and love going there, know it from the lights at the holiday season. And your orchestra has an affiliation with Ogilvy during that time, right?
That's correct. They are one of our best community partners. We have a series called Sound Bites, where we combine gourmet dining experiences that have been specifically paired with our orchestral concerts, and patrons get to dine while they hear our performance. And we have a home for Ogilvy as part of that series, and as well as many other things we do throughout the year, including our opening concert of Labor Day weekend every year is at Ogilvy. So they're one of our best partners, and thank you for mentioning them.
Well, your whole season looks great. You have so many exciting things going on. I hope that we'll have a chance to talk about some other events later. But name a few things that Pittsburghers might be interested in driving down for. You know, our signal extends all the way to Wheeling, even though it gets a little wobbly closer to your home base. But there may be many people who are not aware of how exciting the direction you've taken the orchestra is.
Sure. And as I mentioned, our first and foremost goal is to support living American artists. And so a concert I'm very excited about is our Masterworks concert in March, where Clarice Assad, who is one of my favorite living composers, will be here in Wheeling. She's Chicago-based, but originally of Brazilian origin. And she brings with her a unique sense of color in her music. And this piece would be especially great for families. She's doing something called Egol, which she will lead the audience in participating in the concert from the stage. So she functions as both the composer and the soloist. We asked her how she would like to be listed on the website, and she told us she wanted to be listed as the audience hyper. So you can imagine we're very excited for that. And there will also be music by Lily Boulanger, Stravinsky, and a few other American composers, including the Puerto Rican American composer Angelica Negron. And of course, I mentioned that now because Puerto Rico should be in all of our minds this week, especially. And then we are paying tribute to John Williams twice other in this season. Coming up here in October, we have an event called Halloween at Hogwarts, specifically designed for families. There will be an interactive story on the stage along with music from all of the movies. And then we're going to present Jurassic Park live in concert in April, another thing that is traditional at many larger symphonies, but this is the first time the Wailing Symphony will ever have done a movie live to soundtrack. So that will be really beautiful to celebrate John Williams in that way. So those are a few things that will happen in the Capitol. And one other thing I'd mention is an annual tradition called Symphony on Ice. We have the AAA team here called the Wheeling Nailers for the Penguins, and we have an 8,500 seat hockey arena here in Wheeling right on the water. We have a choir of 300 talented singers, 275 skaters on the ice, as well as the orchestra, and it's the perfect holiday show for any family. So that'll happen the first Thursday in December, and we would certainly love to see as many people as possible there at that concert. Members of the Pittsburgh Skating Club are included in the event.
And will you conduct all the programs?
Yes, I am the conductor of all of the programs at the Wheeling Symphony. We do have a fabulous assistant conductor, Antoine Clark, who is an amazing artist of his own right, and he shares many of the programs with me, Symphony on Ice included.
Who was your predecessor, most recently music director of the orchestra before you joined in?
Yes, his name was Andre Rafael, and he is an amazing person and musician. He's very, very active continually as a guest conductor. In fact, he conducted the Pittsburgh Symphony quite recently, and it's been beautiful to watch his rise after he meant so much to the Wheeling Symphony family.
Oh, I'm a fan of Andre. I came down to hear him conduct Mahler at your theater a few years ago. He is a great guy, so I'm glad they've chosen the right person to take on the baton. And I want to know a little bit more about you. You mentioned Washington, D.C. and mm-hmm. Princeton. You worked with John Andrea Noseda at D.C. or on the conducting staff of the National Symphony. You went on tour there. Christoph Eschenbach, too. Tell me about your experiences in Washington and a little bit of the things that you've absolutely loved doing along your musical journey so far.
Sure. Thank you for asking. I grew up as a clarinetist, and I thought that that was the path I would follow. Then when I went to study at Tanglewood one summer, I became entranced at the idea of conducting when I saw Kurt Mazur conduct a Shostakovich Fifth Symphony. From there, that was my pathway. I went to Emory University in Atlanta, and then I did my graduate studies at the University of Maryland in College Park, Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C. As part of that time, I also started working in the city, including at the National Symphony. And like I said, I got my foot in the door designing videos for their young people's concerts. But if you're a smart conductor and you have a backstage pass, you can find a way. And so I did just that and eventually made my way into being the cover conductor for the National Symphony and had the privilege, you can imagine, to work with someone like Christoph Eschenbach and learn the deepest, most fundamental truths about music from the canon and the way that he would work as both a pianist and as an accompanier of soloists was remarkable to behold. And then Gian Andrea Noseda, someone that I know is very, very familiar to Pittsburgh audiences, created a stir when he first conducted the orchestra and almost immediately thereafter was named the next music director. And I had the privilege to cover all of his concerts as a candidate for that job and then in his first season. And yes, he's a visceral musician. He responds actively to everything he hears and every person he meets. And that energy carries with him onto the podium. And so I think that that's certainly something that is true to my identity as a musician and I related to quite a bit. So those experiences were very formative for me. And I'm proud to bring them to the Wheeling Symphony, where there's a support for everything that we're doing from this community.
And the tour you went on with the National, which one was that?
Yes, that was a very historic event because it was the first time since immediately after the Cold War ended that the National Symphony of the United States visited there. And you can imagine that the National Symphony has such a profound relationship because Rostropovich was the music director during much of the Cold War. And so to have had a Russian music director of the National Symphony of the United States was quite a cultural connection point where a lot of times you would have called it, you know, a frost. And so that was beautiful to be a part of. We went to Moscow, we went to St. Petersburg. And for me, Shostakovich is my favorite composer. And so to be able to go to the places that he worked and taught and sit in his office and play the piano that he had played, those were really meaningful moments for me. And you'll see on our season this year, we end with Shostakovich's 10th symphony. I've made a promise to the community here that because of my interest in him, we're going to end each season with a Shostakovich symphony here in Wheeling.
So the conductor on the tour was Rostropovich?
Oh, no, this was with Eschenbach. Thank you for asking.
Yes. Right. Because at some point, Rostropovich went back, did he not? I think he returned to Russia.
He did. Near the end of his life, he certainly did. And Eschenbach is profoundly popular in Russia. The lines were around the block to greet him from young students and admirers of his in Russia. So he was the perfect ambassador for the orchestra to take with them during his final year as music director.
Interesting. What a crazy thing that the world's such a mess now. It affects our relationship with, you know, people tell me, Jim, I'm not comfortable with you guys playing Russian composers during this time in the conflict with Ukraine. I said, well, you know, Tchaikovsky had nothing to do with it. We're not going to stop playing Tchaikovsky. But it is an awkward time. Look at Valery Gergiev's situation, to name one. What a mess. It's an absolute roaring mess. A shame.
Yeah. As programmers, we are used to planning about two seasons in advance, as you know. So it becomes difficult to nimbly respond to current events. But at an orchestra like this one, where we have one or two concerts a month, we're able to do that in interesting ways. So we certainly took a look at that. And last season, the plan was to end with Shostakovich's Fifth Symphony, which in and of itself is a statement, in my opinion, of restraint against the Soviet oppressive regime. So I felt appropriate to continue to perform that piece, but we also included the Ukrainian national anthem, as many orchestras did, to also make a gesture towards what we felt was certainly a crisis at that time and continues to be so.
Oh boy, it's a big topic and there are many things to discuss down the road, and I want to check out your podcast. You've got to tell me about it. There are so many great podcasts. I just can't find enough hours in a day to listen. And you know, I've got a champion radio to begin with, but tell me about your podcast. I'll want to hear it.
Thank you for asking. It's called The Upbeat Podcast, from a project that myself and three other conductors designed over the pandemic called Everything Conducting. One of the things I believe most strongly is that conductors are prepared, especially in this country, in ways that do not ready us or them for the jobs we actually have. In graduate school, we mostly learn the core repertoire and how to conduct well. And then when you get to a job like the one I have, I conduct about 1.3% of the time I'm doing my job. We are ambassadors in the community. We are planners. We are organizers. We are the boss of many, many people. We have to create budgets. We have to negotiate deals and plan works. And so I, along with three of my colleagues, including Enrico, and also I'll mention the other two, and Ankush Behel, who is the music director of the Omaha Symphony, and Anna Edwards, who is a music director of three orchestras in the Seattle, Washington area. This website is dedicated to everything but exactly what we do on the podium. And so it's preparing people to be leaders in their communities, excellent leaders of their orchestras, and talks about everything that we have to do off of the podium. And so it's been a beautiful project. We're in season 4 of our podcast now, myself and Enrico, and you can find it on, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you find podcasts.
Wonderful. I will definitely check it out and encourage you to do the same. I could keep you going all day because the topic fascinates me and your work amazes me. You're doing such great work in Wheeling and elsewhere, and to have Yo-Yo Ma, everybody's followers, that's pretty much the very tip top. So all the best to you for opening night and the season, and we'll look forward to speaking again very soon. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we close?
I just want to say thank you for what you do for the classical music community and for having me on, Jim. Thank you.